Hey, God bless you guys, and welcome back to our online campus. We are now in part two of this new series called Next. So let me start with a question. How many of you guys love to watch movies as much as Lisa and I do? I've told you many times before that we're big fans of going out on Monday nights and going to see a movie. Well, we haven't been able to do that for almost 7 months now. And then this last week, we actually got to go see a movie in a theater, and it was amazing. But truthfully, we haven't really had to miss watching movies because it's so easy to watch a movie now. You've got Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and Disney Plus and Apple TV and all kinds of streaming venues. You can go on demand with your cable or satellite provider. It's just honestly so easy to have access to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. It's almost overwhelming how many movies you can choose from. But most of us have a genre that we like. We sort of are either really big fans of Westerns, or we love crime movies, or I actually have a big fondness for movies that take place in the future. And I don't want to give you the wrong impression, like really, really sci-fi way in the future, but stuff that's like 50 or 75 years into the future, where there's enough of kind of the past, which we're familiar with, mixed in with the imagination of what the future might look like. Those are really cool. I love that because it's plausible. It's relatable. We kind of get it. We kind of believe in what we're seeing, right? And the reality is, whether we're watching a movie or not, all of us want a peek into the future, even if it's just using our imagination. Well, honestly, it kind of seems like it's the only way we can get a peek into the future is through our imagination. But what if I told you that you could see into the future? I mean, really see into the future. And let me be a little bit more specific. What if I told you that you could accurately predict the future? I guess specifically that you could accurately predict how you will react and respond and behave every day, every moment in the future, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the occurrence, no matter what happens. And the reason that you can know exactly how you'll behave is because that through your life, all through your past, you have been gathering stones. And obviously, I don't mean real physical stones, but if I can, I'd like to use stones as a physical representation of every decision you've ever made, every mistake, every positive choice you've ever made, everything that's ever happened to you, everything you've ever felt, everything that's ever taken place in your life. You have gathered that, and that has helped make you who you are today. Now, stones, these two in my hand, are actually pretty heavy little stones for the size of them. And with our whole past being an accumulation of these stones, one more on top of the other, and we just keep piling these stones on, and we've got them in different buckets, and each one of those buckets represents a different kind of season in our life, or a different occurrence in our life, or a different memory, or a different hardship, or a different season altogether. Those buckets get pretty heavy after a while, and you and I have to, at some point, make a decision, a choice about how we're going to use all these stones that we've collected, that we've gathered, that we've accumulated, because you can do only one of two things with these stones. You can either drag them along and they will weigh you down and it will prevent you and keep you from living God's highest and best, or you can build something, a foundation from which God can then begin to build your highest and best life, the life that you were always meant to live. But the problem is that you and I often take these and decide to build our own things with them. And I want to spend just a minute talking about four different things that you and I can choose to do with these. And it's not going to be comprehensive. The reality is you can do a lot of different things with these stones that you gather. But my hope is that by the time we reach the end, you'll have identified some of the big areas that you've been using these stones on, decide maybe to use them differently, and then we're going to end and talk about the best way to use these stones. So if you will, pull out your notes if you don't already have them out, and let's sort of start figuring out what to do with all these stones and why we hold on to them. So we hold on to stones so that we can, number one, build walls to protect ourselves with. So I want you to think about a time in your life, and this is not going to be hard for most of us, but think about a time in your life when someone hurt you, and I mean really, really hurt you. The kind of hurt that is almost impossible to forget, that you may have really struggled with forgiving, or maybe are still struggling with forgiving. I'm not talking about physically hurt you. Maybe that's happened in your life as well, but I'm talking about a time when somebody so profoundly and somebody so deeply hurt you with a betrayal, a thing they said to you, an act, something that marked you emotionally, and it still hurts to think about. I want you to think about that. And I would imagine that when you felt that kind of hurt, you would have probably preferred that they break an arm or that they have cut you, because at least you can set a broken bone with a cast. You can stitch up a cut. You can take some painkillers and there'll be a season of healing and recovery, but it will be over eventually. But the kind of hurt I'm talking about, you probably know, can linger there for years, sometimes decades, sometimes our whole life. And after you were hurt like that, my guess is that you made a decision in your life. That you made a decision that you were never going to let someone hurt you that way again. Because none of us want to be hurt like that. Not by people we love, not by people we don't know, not by anybody at all. We want to protect ourselves from that kind of pain, no matter what the cost. And guess what? What we will do is we will begin to take these stones, we'll begin to take every moment that we were ever hurt, every unkind thing that was ever said, every disrespectful moment in our life, and we'll begin to just sort of build. And we'll take more stones, one after the other, because not all of us have gone through just one painful experience, but rather many, many painful experiences, and maybe by the same person, maybe by different people, but we just keep collecting these stones and we just keep stacking them up, and we begin to build a wall around ourselves to protect us from getting hurt again. Well, guess what this also does? Not only does it protect you from getting hurt by somebody, it also prevents you from life-giving, heart-healing, mind-freeing, future-building love. The healing, restorative, recuperative power of love that's described in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. I kind of hate that it almost exclusively gets used at weddings, because it's so much bigger, so much deeper, so much more meaningful. It really isn't even talking about a romantic love. So I want you to listen to this. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag. It is not proud. Love's not rude. It's not selfish. And it cannot be made angry easily. And listen, love does not remember wrongs done against it. Love is incapable of gathering stones to build walls to protect us from being hurt. Love, the kind of love that God wants to grow in us and through us, is incapable. It refuses to. It rejects the very idea of using this to protect ourselves from future hurt. but I'm going to guess that you've used a lot of these stones in your life to do exactly that. And maybe another thing you've done is this. We hold on to stones so that we can, number two, build weapons to punish ourselves with. So if you're not using these to protect yourself from the hurtful things that other people do to you, my guess is if you're like a lot of people, you will accumulate some of these because you've caused yourself pain. You've made mistakes. You've made decisions that have caused you pain. And you've decided that you can use this, the memory, the landscape filled with dumb decisions, stupid mistakes, selfish sins that have caused pain and misery and discomfort and unfortunate circumstances in our lives. We look at the landscape, our backyard of our lives, and we see all of these laying there, and we think, man, if I can punish myself enough, if I can keep enough of these around and bang them against my head to punish myself for stupid decisions that I've made, maybe if I associate enough discomfort and pain with my bad decisions, I won't make those kind of decisions again. So we keep these guys around. We keep them scattered all over our lawn. We like running over them with the lawnmower and it bending up the blade and it shooting rocks everywhere because we go, gosh darn it, I'm not going to forget the stupidity of when I did that. So maybe, hopefully, I'll never do that again. Well, honestly, I think that's kind of a good idea. I think it's a great use of rocks. I think they're perfect for punishing ourselves. And I think you should keep buckets of these around you to keep you from making dumb mistakes. So it's a good thing I'm not God, because he doesn't agree with that at all. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 43:25. It's on your screen. So let's get this clear. I love that. He's wanting to make sure that we perk up our ears and listen closely. It's for my own sake. This is God talking to us. It's for my own sake that I save you. I am he who wipes the slate clean and erases your wrongdoing. I will not call to mind your sins anymore. God says, I choose to forget your sins because that's what I want to do. I want to save you because that's who I am and you're who I love. And in order for him to do that wholly and completely, he has chosen to reject a yard full of mistakes, a landscape filled with rocks memorializing our stupidity, our bad choices, and our sins. And if God refuses to collect our stones to be used against us, and he's the only one who really can use these against us, right? He's the only one that's justified in judging us. And if he chooses to hide all of these from himself, who are you and I to dig these up and keep these in our landscape to continue to punish ourselves? Okay? Third is this. We hold on to stones so that we can build roads to return with. So the third way we kind of gather stones in our life may be, I don't know, a little more descriptive of you. Maybe you're not big on punishing yourself. Maybe you're not one who holds on to their hurts and pains. So maybe those first two ways of gathering stones don't describe you that well, or maybe this one just further describes you. I want you now to think of a time in your life, not when you were hurt or not when you made a mistake, but a time when you really, really thought your life was just about as good as it could get. Maybe you were happier than you've ever felt. Maybe you were more content than you ever felt. Maybe you just thought, man, everything's hitting on all cylinders. I just love this time in my life. And maybe now you look back on that. Maybe that time was only 8 months ago. Maybe that time was 8 years ago. Maybe that time was back when you were in high school or in college. Maybe it was when you had more money. Or I've often heard people say they enjoyed life better when they had less money. Maybe it was when you had another job, or maybe it was at a different time in your marriage. Whatever the time was in your life, whatever the time was that you felt like, this is about as good as it gets. I really love this season in my life. Or maybe you didn't even know it then, but you look back on that time. However brief that was, and however our imaginations have probably made it better than it actually was, you believed life was better than it is now. So here's what we do. We take the stones of everything that we've ever experienced, and we begin to line them up. And we get to put them in place, and we begin to place them in a pathway, hoping to get back, hoping to align our choices, our behavior, our decisions, our faith, our marriage, our education, our job, our money. We begin to align as much of this as we can into a pathway, a road back to that time, hoping that we can sort of recapture our glory days. It sounds like a good idea. Remember how last week I talked about Israel and them and their journey of faith as they left captivity in Egypt, and God was challenging them to trust Him more in faith? Well, I want to rejoin them if I can and pick up with their story a little bit, because this is them out in the desert again, and they are really having this crisis of faith that's made them start looking back into their past, believing that they had it better. So listen what it says in Numbers 14, 1 through 4. The whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron, who were God's leaders for Israel. If only we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us into the country? This country only to have us die in battle. Our wives and our little ones will be buried off as plunder. Listen to how they're predicting the future and they're relishing for the past. Even if they could just have died in Egypt, it would be better than living with this unknown future. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Listen to what they're saying. They're glamorizing with their imaginations, remembering their slavery in Egypt as if it were better than their present circumstances. Then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Let's choose a senior architect who can pave the way back to our past. All of their lives had been spent in bondage and captivity and slavery, and they still wanted to go back because they preferred it over their present circumstances. In Isaiah 43, 18 through 19, this is actually addressing, again, Israel, who was imagining their past as if it were so much better than what God had prepared for them in their future. This is what God says through the prophet Isaiah. Forget the things that happened in the past. Don't keep on thinking about them. I'm about to do something new. It's beginning to happen even now. In other words, God's saying, I'm unfolding your future in front of you right now, and you're missing it because you're fantasizing about how to build a road to the past. Don't you see it coming? I'm going to make a way for you to go through the desert, through this hard time, through this difficulty, through this uncomfortable circumstances. I will make streams of water in the dry and empty land. God wants to miraculously move you through these circumstances into His highest and best future for you. But the direction to go is not to build a road to the past. Fourth and finally is this. You have to decide that you're either going to continue to use all of the stones that you gather to do those things, to build walls of protection, to beat up yourself with these stones of remembrance of your past sins, to build roads into your past so that you can get back to those glory days when things were so much better, or you can build altars to worship with. All the other reasons that we have to gather stones will never move us towards God's highest and best. All of them have to be used for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to build a foundation from which God can build the life the destiny, the promises and the purpose that he's always meant for us to experience when we use all of our past experiences, mistakes, successes, everything we've ever encountered, decisions that we've made, and faith that we've extended. God can build a foundation from which to build our highest and best future. So listen to what it says in Joshua 4, 20 through 24. They carried with them 12 rocks taken from the Jordan, and Joshua set them up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the Israelites, "In the future, your children will ask, 'What do these rocks mean?' Tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan River on dry land. The Lord God caused the water to stop flowing until you finished crossing it, just as the Lord did to the Red Sea.'" Remember when God split the Red Sea? He had done this miracle again. He dried up the riverbed so Israel could cross. "He stopped the water until we crossed. The Lord did all this so the people would know he has great power, and so you would always respect the Lord your God." God encouraged this, that Israel would set up memorials to his greatness, to his past faithfulness, so that generations could be shown. This is how God behaves to those who he loves. God wants to deliver you. God wants to bring you into your highest and best. God wants to, in the midst of your worst circumstances, do something miraculous. And then he wants you to take these stones and set up a memorial of worshiping him for his faithfulness. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. "Those people who were listening to me, who are listening to me, those people who hear what I say and live according to my teaching, you are like a wise man who built his house on a rock, a bedrock, on a firm foundation. When storms hit, rain pounded down and waters rose, levees broke and winds beat all the walls of that house, the house did not fall because it was built upon rock. Those of you who are listening and do not hear, you are like a fool who builds a house on sand. When a storm comes to his house, what will happen? The rain will fall, the waters will rise, the wind will blow, and his house will collapse with a great crash." Jesus predicts the future of both. He says, the one whose house is built on a rock will sustain every future adversity. And the one who has misused all the stones that he's gathered and built up his shrine to his past mistakes, or his wall to protect himself from hurt, or his road to past glory, none of that stone could be used to build a firm foundation. I'm predicting your future if you take the stones that you've gathered in your past. I can tell you exactly how your future will play out. If you put these into a pile that ultimately serves as an altar from which God builds your highest and best future, I know exactly how your future goes. And I can tell you, if you keep misusing these stones that you gather, I can also tell you how your future goes. Jesus spells it out right there, Matthew 7, 24 through 27. I know that you want to use these the right way. I know that you want to set up a memorial to God's goodness. Can I encourage you to do something? Walk outside. Find a rock this big, a stone. And I want you to write on that stone with a Sharpie, some marker that you pull out of your junk drawer, and write down something that God has done to demonstrate his faithfulness to you. Even if it's simple as, he saved me from my own sin. And then I want you to put that somewhere where you can worship God at that altar and say, God, thank you. I'm going to begin to memorialize all of your goodness to me. And I'm going to set these stones around in my life and remind myself of how good you truly are and the kind of future that you truly want for me. Would you do that? And I promise your future is going to look completely different. I claim that for you in Jesus' name. Let me close with prayer and pray this over each one of us. Father, thank you for every past moment, because you allow us to use it, and you allow us to gather those stones, and you allow us to do whatever we wish to do with it. You give us the free will and agency to either misappropriate these stones and learn the hard way, or we begin to set up the foundation from which you will build our highest and best future. That's what each one of us choose to do. Those who want a future that's been written before the foundations of the earth, a future to help us, prosper us, and not to harm us, that's the future you've written for us. We give every stone of our past to you as a memorial of your goodness and faithfulness to us, even when we didn't see it. We worship you at that altar, and we thank you in advance for our highest and best future. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.